Wait, are we just waiting for one of us to talk?
Well, no, we have to. It's right now. Hello, Jess.
Hi! I thought I was just going to keep looping. Didn't John ask for it on a loop a while ago?
Yes, but I don't think that beginning part was a loop. I think that that's just the beginning part. It's not going to keep going, believe me, because that would have been weird. I don't think.
Yeah.
So,
well, because yeah. We would have been sitting here a while.
Dancing? Or possibly falling asleep?
No, just, I was just like, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be talking right now. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, my God. Kind of like you.
Really? It's not
sort
just
of
me?
Like, no, it's not just you.
You know, it must be the heat then.
Well, it's the heat, it's the transitions and all.
Making
well,
me depressed.
We connected a little bit during our business meeting and you kind of heard me. You didn't really hear me because I would not have been able to speak to you. I would have bawled my eyes out, like just nonstop.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been able to, I would not have been able to talk with
we
you.
We should have recorded then.
Oh, come on. I was like out and about. Because I actually thought about it and I was like, I'm not sure. I mean, I would have been okay with the conversation. But I'm not sure physically I would have been able to sound like anything that didn't sound like I was about to die. Because I have a tendency to look and sound 100 times worse than the reality of what's happening.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I'm in an emotional place, I can't speak. I'll cry through everything. I'll cry.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I don't know that I would have guessed that about you.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
That's actually why I started kind of podcasting. It's kind of helped me a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah. To speak.
Yeah. I mean, but you're still not, I mean, you still hold back until.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, which is why I continue, why I'm so passionate about working with women's voices. And it's funny because there are some of us who do have a problem with that. And I keep working. And that's what I work on. And I feel that as a teacher, as somebody who can really dive into this type of work, but the fact that I work on it on a daily basis a lot and as much as I can really helps.
I don't know.
I know how hard it is.
Do you really think it's just about like women can't speak up, or do you think it's just that LC bottles things up? Because men do this too, where they, I mean, like my husband is very emotional, but he doesn't let on until he's about to boil over either. And by then, it's like, I could have helped you with this a while ago had I known this is how you were feeling.
Right.
Maybe he needs a podcast.
Maybe he needs a... Well, I think that it could be. And part of it is that it's the tools. It's one of those things where I observe it in my girls when they're bottling things up. And then what's the balance between bottling things up and not bottling anything up? Right? Because there's that side of it, too, where it's like, you don't even... No, what I'm saying is like when there is no discernment whatsoever, where it's just like what they are at this moment.
That's what my daughter, it's not that cool to live with somebody like that.
Yeah. So what's the balance? Like when do you, like I think it's a balance of being able to be okay with your emotions, let them pass, and then be able to address the issue, like address and talk about it.
I think people just need to be like me. They need to be able to say very calmly and rationally without crying, I feel depressed. Now, I mean, having said that to John and whoever else was sad enough to cross my path today.
Yeah.
You know, eventually it'll make me feel better, but I won't have to like have it bottled up to the point where I'm like crying in my bed eating Cheetos. Because people can kind of stay out of my way or be a little nicer to me today since I said I just feel bummed out today about stuff. Like I don't every day, but right. I currently do. And this is more moody days than I'm used to, which must mean that I'm doing something hard for me, which is not a bad thing, certainly. But, you know, I'm not used to having emotions about stuff.
Right.
So it's annoying. It's like being pregnant. I don't like to be unpredictable and I don't like when things set me off for no reason. Or when I just feel moody because I'm tired, like you said. And I like, you know, I feel like I've had jet lag for over a week now. And Scott was just like, well, it's not just you because everyone in my office is fucking exhausted and depressed. So it must be the heat. Everyone is going through it. No one can go outside. It looks nice. It's torture to be out there. You can barely go to the car without sweating and making armpit stains. Like, it's terrible. So I think it's depressing. What can you do?
Maybe it's oppressing. Mm. The oppression of the heat makes you depressed. I mean, there's a possibility that's happening. I'm not sure the weather is the, well, maybe the, it, you know what it is? I think that it also, it's an addition to already existing frustrations, right? So it just adds a little bit more fire to the whole thing, right? It cooks it up a little bit more if you start to think about metaphors and whatnot of what heat actually does.
I just want to know, am I ever going to get one day to relax without feeling guilty? Like, I've had one day this summer. I was at SeaWorld. First of all, not that relaxing. Second of all, guilty the whole day.
Why? Because you were at SeaWorld.
Because I wasn't following up with the people I had met like 5 seconds ago at Blogger. Made me feel like a guilty asshole.
You're going to have... This is when I stop feeling guilty. Actually, it's not that I haven't actually been feeling guilty because I actually really do like to work. But what I do notice is that I push through stuff. So... That's what was happening, you know, on Monday when I was talking with you and I got really upset.
Yeah.
I pushed through it and then all of a sudden I broke the dam and then the dam would not be stopped. And I just had to there was no way I could focus on anything because I had all of this emotion that was just insane. And so I just kind of made a deal with myself that I was able to just like not do anything that was particularly in quotes productive because I needed to take care of myself.
But I feel like that's every day.
Do you?
A little bit. Like, I can't tell when being nice to yourself turns into procrastination. When does one end and the other one begin? Like, how often can you just be like, I'm just going to turn my brain off. I really need a rest. And that's every day because you're so tired.
Well, there was a conversation that there was a, what do you call it, on one of Kate's Stillman's Yoga Healer podcast, and she had a conversation with a woman. Oh, my God, I can't remember her name at this moment. But she brought up, I don't even know if I've actually talked to you about this or on the show, but maybe I have. And if I have, this is just more stuff. But she was talking about how we don't anymore realize that resting is a primitive need, kind of like eating and going to sleep. And I'm going to sleep and eat and going to the bathroom. That rest is it's in the same vein. So if you have to go pee, we usually go pee. Like, we'll go to the bath, we'll go pee. Or if you are, you know, hungry, for the most part, we eat. I mean, that's what happens. These are like needs
that we
have in the day. So when you are tired and you need to rest, that's actually like you saying, you know what? I have to pee, but I'm not. I'm going to hold it as long as I possibly can until I explode. And if you do this consistently, you're going to mess up your urinary tract. You're going to mess up your body. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. So what she says is that lack of rest is a pathology now. It actually is the beginnings of disease in the culture, particularly for women, because we do not allow rest. We don't. We pass it. We don't even listen to it. And when she said that, I kid you not, I started crying like right away because I was like, holy crap, that is so true for me at that moment.
Yeah.
It was such a big realization where the truth of that was so huge from, you know, in my body that I couldn't even keep myself together. That we often see rest as this thing that of guilt, not being productive and all that kind of stuff. But if you put it in the context of a primitive need or something that we really truly need, like going to the bathroom and eating and sleeping, like we wouldn't stop somebody from doing that. Oh my God. I'm just not going to sleep tonight.
If you told me you felt the way I felt, of course I would tell you to rest and take a day off. Nothing's that important. That can't wait. It'll all be there tomorrow.
Well,
you're not going to do it well anyway if you're feeling this way. But that doesn't mean that I can give myself that same permission.
Yeah. So I'm telling you now that same thing. In fact, think about it from the perspective, instead of using the term, you know, give yourself a rest, it's like, dude, go eat. I mean, if you think about it that way, if you said to me, you know what? I haven't eaten in 2 days because I've been really busy and I'm feeling really tired and I'm feeling like I need to eat. I'd be like,
hi.
Eat.
Yeah, no, I know. Hi.
Hi, I.
Did you hear him? Hi, Mama. Say hi, Mama.
Hi.
Hi.
He grabs the mic now and pulls it to him. Hi. Say hi, Elsie.
Hi.
Can you say hi?
Hi.
I don't think he can hear you. Hold on.
Hi.
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 Hold on.
How are you? Hi. Oh, whoa. Oop. Oh, dude. There goes that.
And I think we lost Jessica.
And I think we lost
I think I dog tore off the mic. I dog dropped the mic.
I dog. Well, she totally. Look, she's gone.
She's here.
She's here.
She's not plugged in.
What was that? That seemed like a big bump.
I got to put I dog edit.
But edit point when there was an accident that went down in the house. I think she just has to come
back.
I'm really sorry. So what happened was he decided he was done because I put the headphones on Elsie. So he can hear Elsie. I put them on him. He decided he was done and flung himself off my lap, taking the headphones with him. So they became unplugged from the mic, and then it froze me in the groove. So I could hear you guys, but you couldn't hear me because I was frozen, kind of.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry. That was a bit of a disaster. Did you guys hear him crying or no?
No, it was all quiet. It was like
quiet,
like total no noise. Bye-bye, Jessica.
Bye-bye, probably better because he was screaming.
All right. I'm out, ladies.
Okay. Well, that was really
cute.
And
sorry.
But it's okay. But again, coming back to the whole rest thing, though, just it's like you're telling me that you've been holding your pee for the next, you know, past 2 days or something like that. Then it just,
I know,
it's
you're
like,
right. If I pee, I'll feel guilty.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you imagine that?
No.
I mean, just saying that to yourself.
That's ridiculous.
I cannot go to the bathroom because I will feel guilty if I pee. And then what if you go to the bathroom and you pee just a little bit? Just to let out just a little bit of pee.
I can't stand this discussion anymore. It's so uncomfortable.
Well, okay. Totally, right?
The thought of it is so uncomfortable.
And now, rest.
Yeah.
So now when you have to rest, you just rest. Because it's like just letting out a little bit of pee and feeling guilty about going to the bathroom. That's
you're
just
right.
Insane. So, boo, bye-bye. That's the way it goes. See you later, alligator.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. It was totally ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So, but we're going to kind of continue on our conversation today. And we are going to continue talking about PodFest for a little bit. Just to let you, everybody that's listening, to please put it in your calendars. February, please. February of next year
Last
is coming
of February,
up.
Orlando, Florida.
Yes. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
You
February
get
23rd
a trip to
the
Disney.
25th.
You get a trip to Disney. You yes. get a trip.
You guys, come on over and hang out with us because the ideas that Jess and I and Chris and
Katie.
Everybody else that's involved and Katie in this whole thing is going to be pretty incredible, especially for those of you guys who attended Podcast Movement. If you felt any kind of like passion attending that event, this is going to sort of cement it into everything. It's a much more intimate affair. You get an opportunity to experience things from a whole entirely new perspective.
It's incredibly
on podcasting.
Fun also.
Yes. Yes.
Because it's more small.
Good times.
Because it's small.
Yes,
because
it's more small. Because it's more small.
Well, more intimate is what I guess
yes,
I should have
totally.
Said.
Yes, totally.
It's going to be really fun. And we have a special She Podcast event as part of it the first day. So it'll be extra special and fun because you'll be with us only first.
Yes.
Which is,
and
that
is
should
awesome.
Really seal the deal for you. And in fact, exactly the way I phrased it even. It should really.
Is that,
I should have really sold it to you by my tone and inflection.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that is it.
No,
but you need to totally
really
do
fun.
It. It's going to be super.
Speaking
fantastic.
Of really fun, nothing makes me happier than when you and I watch the same shit on television.
Oh my God!
And now that I've given you access to all my television.
Totally yes,
you should really be able to keep up with all the convos. So let's start with one of my favorites, my most recent favorite, is Orphan Black.
Oh my God, that was so awesome. Okay, so we have to like put a spin on this for the podcasting space, okay? Because it is a podcasting show.
I can't wait to hear how that's going to go.
All right. So yes, Orphan Black, amazing show.
You
it's been with me now.
On BBC.
Yes, BBC America,
yeah,
is that what it's called?
Yeah,
BBC America.
Yep.
And so I started watching it via Amazon Prime because it's been a while. I'd listened to, you know, people talking about it. I'm like, eh. And then I completely, totally binge watched like every season, one season after the next season. And
how
then I got to the fourth season.
How many days did it take you? Let's start there.
You know what? I can't remember. I think it was really fast, though. It must have been about, I think I watched the four seasons in probably a week and a half.
The first couple seasons didn't have that many episodes, I believe.
It's all 10. They were all 10 episodes.
All four of them had 10?
All four of them have 10 episodes, yes. And so, yeah, it was probably a week and a half that I did everything. And so what I would do is I would watch, I would probably didn't watch as many episodes like during the day because I needed to be home to do stuff like that. I'd watch them here and there depending on what kind of work I was doing. If I was doing mindless scheduling type work, then I can watch at the same time. But if I had to obviously think about anything, that was not the case. You know, doing the laundry, washing the dishes, things like that I can watch. And then at night, or actually when I was out and about, I would listen to the podcast called Tatiana is Everyone.
Yes.
And
I
so...
I forget the name of who does that show. Hold on.
Stephanie and Chris.
That's right.
I think Billy. And so I completely was like obsessed with that because then I could hear these two women talking about Orphan Black as it was happening. And they had all kinds of really interesting insight and they were incredibly like invested. And there was all this discussion of everything that was happening. So I've been immersed in Orphan Black like crazy. So I basically listened to their, so they started podcasting in 2013, which is when Orphan Black started. Mm-hmm. I have now listened to almost their entire back catalog.
Jeez Louise. Well, yeah. What do you think? Which is better, the show or listening about the show?
Both.
Really?
Both. It's so fun. Because then they had fewer discussions. Like, they will have a discussion about a specific character. The whole entire show
is about
that character.
I have not listened to it because I just never have time to listen to podcasts. So what were some of the revelations? Or do you not want to get that detailed?
I think, no. The revelations, actually, it wasn't necessarily revelations. It was the depth of the discussion about, it's all the stuff that you kind of want to talk about. Like, you know, let's say the conversation between Allison and her husband, like when they were together, like really going in depth into their marriage and where they were coming from and how come that's happening and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Or they discuss the music of Orphan Black, like what works really well for the music of Orphan Black. Like, this is really great. Like how Helena has that screechy sound every time she comes on stage. And that thing was like, so like in the first two seasons, I hated it. It scared the crap out of me.
The music?
I hated the sound. Yeah. For Helena, when she came on, I was like, that is annoying and scary, and I don't want to hear that. It was so, and then as I started to fall in love with Helena, then all of a sudden I couldn't wait to hear the screechy sound.
Right, she steals it every time.
Yeah, and so I'm like, I want to hear the screechy sound. And so you start to see, they really discussed also the like costumes and how there's the different color schemes of what everybody's doing. And they really go deep into costume changes, mm-hmm. especially for like Delphine. They really discussed about how in I think season three, she became like, her hair was straight. Her, you know, her costumes were a different color. They were like different colors. She was a lot more put together and what that made for her and the character. And they were just discussing all of this kind of stuff that I never really thought about. And it made it better for me. Mm-hmm. So now that I've watched all four seasons and I'm caught up, now I'm kind of expanding into the Orphan Black official podcast.
I didn't know there was
Orphan
one,
Black.
But apparently there's a Facebook page called I Love Felix from Orphan Black.
Oh,
and
my
the,
gosh. That's so cool.
And the, what is it called? The profile picture of the page is him laying down and it says, fetch me something gay.
Oh my God.
But also the cover photo is just as good because it says, what? I don't leave prints when I burgle. Hey, Felix is like, okay, so I should say the
Felix
plot
is
just
amazing.
A little. Like Sarah and Felix are brother and sister, and Sarah got somehow caught up in this, like she was an orphan, and so she was living with her orphaned brother and mother. She's not an orphan. She took care of them. She's a foster mom. And somehow mm-hmm. she ends up finding out that she's a clone. Oh, she sees another clone kill herself. And so she ends up realizing that she has lots of clones, and she you know, grew up not having any brothers and sisters. Now she's got all these sisters, and there's some kind of like cloning, you know, she's in some kind of cloning conspiracy, and it ends up being very sci-fi yet still very funny because all the different clones are completely different characters. There's like a scientist lesbian, and there's like a Russian serial killer, and there's like a, you know, an over suburbanite, you know, alcoholic, and like they're all really interesting and fun characters. And so the first year this was out, my outrage at her not being nominated for an Emmy could not be contained, because
I cannot even believe
This is why. Rarely is there a character actress that A, can play so many characters, and B, that you forget they're all her.
I know. I'm completely forgotten there. That's not her.
I'm not even kidding.
She's amazing. She is so
amazing.
They're
literally going to talk to each other on the phone, and you're like, I can't believe Cosima just said that to Sarah. And then you're like, wait, they're the same person.
I know. And then you know what's even crazier? If you start to look at it from the perspective of an actor, it's like,
oh, well, if you,
you're not even acting. I mean, obviously they do have, like, there's an actual person who does.
There's two.
Act.
She has to act with that someone that looks her. Just like her without her, you know, her face, obviously. But she has to act against someone who looks like her so that she can at least, you know, have an idea of where to look when she's talking to herself. So she'll do, I believe what she does is all the scenes as one, then all the scenes as the next, then all the scenes. So she doesn't have to do the makeup over and over. But I've seen, some of the behind the scenes, and it's truly amazing. This show is truly amazing. I know it has nothing to do with She Podcasts, but it's the kind of thing where, like, it's fun to watch the show, but even more fun to talk about it. And I guess listen
to conversations about
pop culture. It's really fun.
And to go deeper into it. And, you know, and I was wanting to bring this from the perspective of a podcaster, too, because it's like I have known about Stephanie is a listener to the feed. And so she sends in a lot of feedback. And she's always said, like, I'm from the Orphan Black podcast. You know, Tatiana is everyone. Or, you know, now they have like this network where they discuss a lot of different shows, sci-fi type shows. And I had known about that, but I didn't really... No. I mean, I kind of, you know, we know so many of our own podcasters for She Podcast as well. We know their names. We know their podcast, but we don't really listen to as many of their podcasts because there's so many podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. So this time I was like, oh my God, I was watching Orphan Black and I was like, oh wait, Stephanie has Tatiana as everyone. I want to listen to that show now that I'm watching Orphan Black. Yeah. And so it came into my awareness. And now, within a week and a half, I'm like a huge fan of their show. I have consumed 3 years worth of their podcast. Yeah.
I've done before, too, with other shows.
Yeah. And so that's like the power of podcasting. They can provide that for you. They can give you... There's so much that can happen. You know, how long did it take for them to do all this stuff and for them to put all of this work out? And then I had the benefit of then immersing myself fully in the Orphan Black community, from the podcasting perspective, because I'm not really participating in the fandom as it works. Like, there's like all, I mean, it's really, really intense. Yeah. The fandom. And I didn't know that there were people making art and doing like, you know, what is it? Like extra fiction. And there's actually comics, Orphan Black comics that are part of the canon, meaning that they are sanctioned by the writers of Orphan Black and all this stuff. Like, I had no idea about all that stuff. So I was like, oh, wow, this is really interesting. And so I'm just really enjoying getting myself totally into it this way. And I thought, what a great way to help people get into podcasting, number one, to get obsessed about something, and also to get to know you. So if I want to watch another show, I'm going to want to listen to their podcast. I want to listen. If they're going to be covering that podcast, I want to listen to their conversation about it, because we get attached to people. So I have a feeling, you know, if like you and I decided to do another show that had maybe possibly nothing to do with podcasting and wanted to do some kind of pop culture show, like if we would do something like that, people would be apt to listen to our show about this TV show or movie or whatever because we are doing it, mm-hmm. not because they're interested in the show. Does that make
yeah,
sense?
Totally. Hold on, and my ride's so, here.
Oh,
you're right. You guys hear that?
What? No. Is he going beep beep or something like that? Oh my gosh. What the heck is that?
Toy police car.
Oh my gosh.
He's here to take me to jail.
Take you to jail.
Mommy this time. Mommy.
Mommy.
Yep, good times.
Good times. Put your pants on. Put your underwear.
He had his meeting this morning with his teacher. He's going to be going to preschool.
Yeah. Bye,
love you. And it'll be good because I won't be interrupted anymore by cat or baby. It'll be for the first time ever.
Woohoo! Oh my gosh, that's going to be crazy. No. What are you doing to the cat?
She's dead. She's been dead since November. Oh. I'm not doing anything to her.
Did you? Oh,
she's been dead. She been dead.
Oh my god!
Did you know that she was dead? John's pouring one out for the cat. She's been dead.
I know.
Don't you remember?
Yes, I do remember, but I haven't. Obviously, I haven't remembered. So much
you would have
right
remembered
now.
Had she been alive, because she never lets you forget.
That's crazy.
She's redonkulous,
dude. So, all right.
Yeah.
Well, so much for
so
that.
Much for that. Okay.
So much. For
yeah.
That.
So Orphan Black. So good.
So you guys. Yeah, so you guys send us some of your feedback about Orphan Black, or if you are listening to a podcast about Orphan Black, or if there's something that you love about it, or if you guys want to join in our obsession now, because they're obviously season 5 isn't starting for another, I don't know how many, like 6 months. So you all have a chance to catch up and binge watch with us. And that would be awesome.
Sean hadn't done that. It made me really want to go get a soda.
Oh, dude.
So badly.
You're not going to go get a soda. I know. No sodas. Not right now.
But it really made me want one. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I can taste saying. It in my mouth.
Oh, my all God. Right. He's
now
doing
I
it again.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
All right. We're going to move into some tips.
Elsie's tool tips. I have a tip this time as well.
Yes, you do.
I am so excited because I have a tip.
Do you want to do the
no,
tip?
You go first.
Okay, so I'll go really fast because mine's not going to be quite as fun as I think
as mine.
As
okay.
Yeah, but so mine is, so I do the Rockin' Lipson podcast series over at the Lipson blog. So I basically feature a blog, or not a blog. I do a blog feature on a podcaster every single week. And what I do is basically I send all the questions and they have to get back to me with text only answers is my preference. Like you basically just answer the
dot
questions.
.txt or like they're texting.
Yeah, dot .txt, okay. Dot .txt. And I'm even okay with you just replying to the email and answering the answers right within the email and just sending that to me because it, for the most part, it's plain text. And I just usually copy and paste. I just copy and paste into my plain text editor, and I'll do everything that way. Now, my issue with that is that a lot of people still do the whole, like, you know, type a sentence to do two extra spaces after the
Why,
sentence.
Why, people? Stop it.
Stop it, people. Don't do
we
that.
We are not typing on typewriters anymore. There's nothing
we
to get
not.
Smudged. Stop it.
Exactly. Therefore, it's really annoying when I see that formatting is there and I have to sit there and go and delete.
You don't,
go and
because you just do
space.
Find and replace, first of all.
Well, I have an app for that.
But is this app necessary if you can just find and replace? That's my question.
I love this app. It's the coolest app ever. So it's called Text Soap. And what it does is basically it cleans up it cleans up any kind of text that you want to clean up. So if you want to remove formatting from a text, you can basically put it in there. Bye-bye formatting. If you want to remove spaces, like it says right there, there's a little button. It says remove spaces, and then it automatically removes the spaces.
Awesome.
It does all kinds of cleanup that you want for specific things. Like it can actually add capital letters to the beginning of sentences for you. Like it'll do all
yeah.
kinds of like the manual labor yeah. of things. That you've never
see.
Like,
I
even
see
know
why it's
wanted.
Good because I see in the features it has like a section where they already have the find and replace actions ready for you. Find and replace text, regex, which I don't know what that means. Find and replace text, tag text, extract text. So like, it's true. Like, you know what this would be good for? A lot of times I'm looking for like. For example, if I wanted to get a list of all the sponsors of Blog Her, and I go to the website and I do view source and I pull the source mm-hmm. file, it seems like it would be easy for me to extract everything except the name and website of the company. That's what would be good for this, is if you're farting around with people's source files when they're not, you know, and you can get rid of all the code. That would be awesome. Not necessarily for the double space thing, because I already know how, I mean, you know, I would already do that.
But
like for hyperlinks to text, like get rid of all that, or extract all the end characters, like all the arefs and the slash a's. That would be brill. It's a genius.
So it does all kinds of really fun stuff. And I bought this. I forgot why I bought
text.
I don't remember. It was, I work a lot with text, but there was a reason specifically that I bought. Like, I forgot what I was working on at that time, where I was like, I just need all this. Oh, well, there was a lot of times where I was working with people's text. And it's the most annoying thing when people do indentation, like text that, like formatting that you can't even see.
Your paragraphs, because you're in first grade.
Oh my God.
Writing your first essay paper.
It's driving me crazy. And you don't even know where they are. And it's the most, and so this would just really, and it really happens in like a second. Copy paste, that's it.
Yeah.
Clean up, it's done. So I love TechSoap. So that'll be a link in the show notes for you guys if you want to do, and that's, sorry guys, that is for Mac only.
Womp womp.
Womp womp.
As usual.
But let me, so tell me about your tip.
So my tip is called Charlie. It's and it basically helps you make a killer impression on whoever you're meeting. So basically this is how it works. It connects with your basically you type in your email, you download the app. I guess I have it. Do I have it on my phone? I must. So far I put in my email and like, let me just pull up a Charlie. It sends you an email about an hour before your meeting. So this morning I got one that says, "Good morning, Jessica. You have two meetings today." And then it's actually funny. It says, "Hey, Jessica, do you remember what life was like when you had to Google people? You're welcome."
What?
Because it's doing it for me. So it says, "Here are your briefings for today." And it says, "JK Media Agency with Jules Custom Books. Here's your briefing on Mark Bates." So then I click on the link. It opens it for me and it says, "Hi, I'm Charlie. I brief executives on the people they're about to meet. Be prepared. You can get your time back. Join the movement. View his insights." So now it has his website. It has where he lives. It has his LinkedIn and his Twitter. "Here's your latest interactions with Mark. Here's his latest tweet." And then it says, "Here's a summary of his website. Here are some key points. He's located here. The website was built with Outlook and New Relic." And then it's really, I mean, is that amazing or what? Like,
that's
I'm trying
amazing.
To see even better. I had one the other day. Veral Dana. Okay. I had it. And then this one says, "Research ready. JK Media Agency with Veral Dana. Hey, Jessica, I sometimes wonder how many kilometers I've scrolled on my phone. Here's your brief on Tawny from Veral Dana," right? So he's funny. And then it says, "Here's two ways to start the conversation. Number one, Tawny was in the news. Why don't you mention the article?" And then it has a link to the article and her quote. "It's the dream," says Tawny, an associate at law firm Veral Dana. "It's like the movie Cocktail from the 80s. Everyone's starting a bar and it's going to be wonderful living that bar life." So, I mean, then number two, "They were in the news. Talk about the article. Veral Dana has, you know," and then it mentions the group blog.
Wow.
I know. And then it says, "Here are the basics about the company. Here are some news just about their company. Want to dive deeper? Here's her LinkedIn profile. Here's her Twitter.
Holy crap.
Here's the company tweets. Here's the company website." So I'm not saying, like, for me, somebody who's like pitching people for sponsors and advertisements, like, it's perfect. But think of all the time you'd save when you're interviewing people. When I think of all the time it would have saved me, I mean, 20 minutes before I would interview people on Lady Business Radio, I would usually like poke around, see what's going on. I would have killed for this app.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, it's so cool. Now I'm trying to see if it's
free.
I can't tell. I don't remember. Is it free?
Gosh.
Hold on. Sign
I don't
up.
Know. I see it. Sign up.
Oh,
sign
it is
in.
An iPhone. Download for iPhone. Or
privacy.
Use the
Follow
web
us.
Version. Let's see. It says you connect.
I don't want to sign up.
No,
at
no,
this
no.
Moment.
It says connect your Google Calendar.
At
get notified when we launch for Outlook. Let me just make sure I didn't pay for it, because I might have, because I wanted to see what it was like.
Yeah. Well,
no,
it doesn't even have
free.
Like pricing.
Nope, it's free.
You don't have
the first
any
email
oh my God,
says, "Nice
amazing.
To meet you. I'm your personal assistant, Charlie."
Holy crap. How are they making their money?
I'll make sure you walk into every meeting making a killing impression. If you want to make my day, spread the word about me on social. Well, yes, sir. Happy to do it.
We're you know, doing it here on social by being podcasting social. Sharing your name, Charlie.
Yep.
CharlieApp.com, people. Maybe they should also be a sponsor. Hello, Jess. Can you follow up on that?
It's so good. Charlie.
Because it's so good. Oh, my God. It's
Charlie,
so good.
Charlie.
Charlie.
I use it every day.
I'm going to have to add it.
It's free.
I can,
can't even believe it.
I feel naked going into a meeting without Charlie.
Charlie has saved my ass. The fact that he's funny kind of makes it feel like I'm working with a real person.
Oh, my God. I love
it. It's great. It's really great. It's such a good.
I love it.
I can't believe I haven't found something to talk about for Tool Tip Tuesday. Wait, it's not Tuesday. Wednesday. But you know what I mean. I mean, I come across tools, but not anything that I think is podcast worthy all the time.
That is awesome.
Yay!
Well, neither do I. Everything I put out here, just stuff that I think is kind of fun and exciting, and I think it will be helpful for people to do.
What percentage
stuff
of stuff you say on Tooltip Time is from Product Hunt? Because this is not from Product Hunt.
I don't go to Product Hunt. I don't go to Product Hunt. I do. I get the majority of my tools and tips from podcasters. So I'm like the perfect
curator
person. I curate from podcasts, or if I come across something like that and I just kind of pull it in. And I think, I think TechSoap was from more likely than not podcast. I'm sorry, Mac Power Users, which is another one that I like listen to consistently and have for many, many years.
Product.
And I've spent thousands of monies. I've spent thousands of monies. because of Mac Power Users.
I also like, if you like finding tools, you can look at producthunt.com and find some fun stuff too.
Yeah, I'd rather hear somebody talk about it than me read about it. So that's why people are going to do this Charlie app thing, because it's awesome and I'm going to sign up like after
we're finished. Sounds good. Perfect.
So,
speaking of helpful assistants.
Oh, my God. Speaking of helpful assistants.
I'm doing good with the segues today, aren't I? I'm on fire.
Yes, you have. I know. Fire.
Bum, bum, bum. Okay. Sorry. We didn't prepare John. Now he's searching furiously for that song.
I smell something
fire.
Cooking.
Okay.
But anyway, go ahead. Yes. So.
Team Podcast. Christy Hausler from Team Podcast is like the most helpful person in every podcasting group, Podcasters Paradise, She Podcasts, Podcast World. What are the other ones? Probably Podcast Movement 1, 2. You've definitely seen her name everywhere. She owns the company Team Podcast, and they are like your podcasting assistant. They do everything. They do editing. They do show notes. They do social media. They do graphics. And she is amazing. And so if you're feeling overwhelmed with your podcast, you should really check them out at teampodcast.com. Plus, Christy is the nicest Southern lady in the world.
I know. And we're going to be hearing about her in the next episode.
That's right. Woo-hoo! We're going to have an interview episode.
So it's going to be so fun. So it'll be super, super awesome. So you get to know her a little more. But if you can't wait to get started, just reach out. Teampodcast.com, please. Mm-hmm. Tell her we sent you. Yay. So we have a little bit of news.
The news you can use for the informed podcaster. Podcasting news.
Podcasting news.
That is really well put together, even though it's me.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't it sound amazing?
When I listen to that, I'm so impressed by John.
I'm impressed by
Not
John
me.
As well. John and you together. Magic.
It's true.
All right. So
my father actually called me last night and like.
To say you and John together are magic.
Yeah. No. Actually, I mean, he called me because he's afraid. He knows that I turtle when I got things going on. So if he doesn't call me, he's afraid people are dying and like laying in the street bloody. So if he doesn't hear from me for a while, he always worries something's wrong. And so he gives me this text, call me, period, which always makes me think I'm in trouble. Because nobody ever puts a period at the end of their text unless you're in trouble.
Never, never. There's actually an article.
So stressful. So I'm like, what did I do? He goes, no, you know, I've been listening to you and John. You guys are hilarious. And he is so good with the sound effects. He's always got a good sound effect coming. He's so good. And I was like, I know, he is really good. It's true. All right, back to the news. Back to you, Elsie.
Back to the news. Well, back to the news.
I love it.
So Google Hangouts, dude, on air is going away. And then I added a little dot, as if by magic,
Charlie just emailed me research ready for my next call. At 2. Oh, how funny is that?
There you go.
Right,
see that? Right,
go ahead.
Amazing. All right. So there was an article on The Verge, but let me read you the headline.
Google is killing off Hangouts on Air in September.
Man, it really makes it sound like Dallas is killing off JR.
So, of course, you read the headline, right? And you're like, oh, my God. And so there's all this stuff there saying, like, Google has announced that Hangouts on Air, the live streaming service once used by Barack Obama and Pope Francis, will be discontinued
next
month.
And you're like, wait, mostly? You fuckers.
Mostly? What? And so there's, like, all this stuff about, you know, it's kind of scary and it makes you think all this stuff. And I emailed Jess or messaged her saying, like, what about Webinar Jam? What about all the people that are using, you know, Hangouts on Air?
By the way, every plugin that isn't GoToWebinar uses Google Hangouts on Air.
Right. But the thing is, though, they have already moved. Like, this has already happened.
Oh, really? They've already gotten through it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because most people are using YouTube, mm-hmm. which is you basically do the same thing. It's not called Google Hangouts on Air. It's just called YouTube Live. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
Interesting.
And so they're only removing a little bit of functionality. We've only just begun. A little functionality of, like,
sorry. Boy, nobody can distract you like me. I mean, I could derail your train no matter what track it's on.
You're being derailed today, though. Q&A, I am.
She's allowing it.
The Q&As are gone and a couple little things. Oh, my.
What the hell was that? Was that me? Please tell me.
Crazy.
Oh, God, that wasn't me. I've never heard that, but it's...
That's you.
No, it's not.
No, no. It's not you for real you. It's you, what you do to derail people. It's like the little voice in your head. Yeah, like in the middle of, like, you know, singing
songs.
But,
I mean, don't say that was actually me, because I'll get upset.
No. That was not actually
I have to push pause,
because
my daughter is fucking stalking the shit out of me. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hello. Changing the subject now.
I know.
What's up, Emily? I'm recording a podcast right now, which is why I haven't answered. What's up? All right, I love you. Goodbye.
She goes, and you can keep this on if you'd like, because I don't mind. She goes, I go, Emily, I'm recording a podcast. I don't care if you're recording a fucking podcast. You have a daughter in rehab. What's more important than that? And I go, you're not going anywhere. You'll be there when I'm done. These people have shit to do. You're stuck. They're not. Like, come on. She goes, I need to talk to you. Silence. And I'm not having a good time, she says. I hate to laugh at her.
I know, baby. I know.
I hate to laugh at her because I know she's not having a good time. Like, certainly it's not her first time there. But also, I know she's not having a good time. It's not supposed to be a fucking water park. I know it's hard. But I mean, Elsie, this is like why my life is like Love Actually. Because she called today at 12:22, 12:24. 103, 104, 105. Like, it's enough already. It's like stalking. She stalks me. All right, sorry.
Whoa.
Sorry I had to interrupt for that, but like, Emily's not having a good time. So we should all know.
She's not having a good time. Well, I'm a little bit disturbed because now I know it doesn't stop.
I mean,
meaning I have
do you know
that
why?
Happen. With my girls
do you know
as well.
Why it doesn't stop for Emily?
Why?
Well, first of all, Emily didn't do this when she was their age. She only does, the more mentally ill she got, the more she did it. She didn't do this at that age. At this age, she was not this needy. She was normal at 4 and 2 or 4 and 6 or however old your kid. I mean, she was very normal until puberty. And also, Elsie, you have to remember, it's because, I mean, the mental illness came because she was taken advantage of by a teacher when she was Maymay's age. She was born a normal little girl. She has mental illness from trauma. And it didn't come out until she started puberty, because that's also when you start to get ready to feel something about sex. Like, your kids aren't thinking about anything sexual ever. They're not going to be.
Right.
Even if they had been bothered by anybody up until now, you wouldn't see it until she was about 10 or 11. That's when she started to go a little cuckoo. I mean, she was always creative, but not in a needy, right. scary way. Like, she was a normal little girl until she was about 11. And then things started to, you know, she would steal. And then all of a sudden she wanted to dress like a Taiwanese hooker. And then, you know, things started to go weirdly weird. And, you know, anyway. So no, she's only been like this the last couple of years. And when she lived here, she wasn't like this. In fact, when she lived with me, she would avoid me because she was doing things she wasn't supposed to do. It's only when she's healthy and sober that she calls me incessantly. And it's because she has mental illness. I mean, that's all. Your kids aren't mentally ill. Try and remember that.
That's true.
Your kids are not mentally ill. Just this one. My other two are normal.
They're just four. Or she's just four. I should just say Maymay's just four.
Maymay is four, but she's also like quite a character. The greatest way I can really describe Maymay right now is bitch on wheels. That's actually the biggest compliment for her right now, because she does not take shit. She knows what she wants.
No, she,
you cannot dissuade, yes, her. Those are not bad qualities. They're not good if you're her mother. But in school, don't fuck with Maymay. Maybe will kick your ass if you even look at herself or her sister. Like, she does not take shit. There's nothing wrong with that. It's only going to be wrong if Maymay decides she wants to be, you know, a gospel singer, or like a, you know, like something she, you know, somewhere where she obviously doesn't belong, like, you know,
right,
the KKK. Yeah. Then it will be a problem. Yeah. Until then, she's going to be, you know, if she's going to be this way over people who are not eco-friendly, wonderful. If she's going to be this way over people who break the law, even better. It's channeling the evil. Though, that's our task,
that's right.
People. You have an evil child, we channel it. She's going to have to be Dexter, but in a much longer... You know the story of Dexter? You don't, because you never watched TV.
No.
Dexter is a serial killer, but because he was adopted by a cop, he was, you know, his cop father knew that he was going to be a serial killer, but if he could channel it for good, then Dexter could live in normal society. So what he taught Dexter to do was only kill people who truly, truly deserved it, because they were very, very, very evil. And so Dexter grew up and started working in the police force, but nobody knew that he was actually killing off the people they were trying to arrest.
Oh.
It was great, though, because he would like plan this whole thing out and he would enjoy the kill. It's actually another TV show you could try to get into, is Dexter. It's fascinating. But yeah, so there's this whole question of good and evil and what's good and what's evil, because you know that Dexter's inherently good, yet he's not. He is, but he's not. He has to kill someone. And sometimes like he would slip up. This is totally off subject. I should not even compare my daughter to Dexter, or yours for that matter, or yours. But the point is, the reason I thought of it is because you're supposed to channel their evil and anger into something, you know, that's productive. Then she can be a bitch on wheels to people who really deserve it, and not mommy and daddy and Hunter.
Right. And then she can get like because it just doesn't stop.
Ever. No, it never will. Because when is she supposed to soften? Like, that would mean a lobotomy.
Right.
What is she supposed to be softer about exactly, and when and for whom and why? Like, in her head, and it could just be like natural anxiety. Maybe it could be just be anxiety, Elsie.
I think it could just be
she has anxiety, and Emily did too. But it manifested itself differently. Like, I don't know if, it's similar actually in the fact that like Emily would never go to like a buffet by herself and get food. She couldn't, like, even when she could go to the bathroom by herself, like even at age 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, like she didn't want to walk through the room by herself. She didn't want people to stare at her as she was on her way there. So she would make someone go with her as a buddy.
Oh my God. I don't know if it's the stare. She always says, I'm scared, mommy.
No,
I'm
Emily
scared.
Never said that.
But I don't know if it, but she doesn't.
She would say, I don't want
she
to.
She says she's scared. She says she's scared even when she's not scared. Like, if she hurts herself, she says, I'm scared. I go, did that hurt? Because she's obviously in pain.
Yeah.
You know, she's in pain. She's crying because she's in pain.
I don't know. Because Isaac's starting to do this thing too.
No, I'm scared.
He's starting to do this thing now too, where he'll hit himself and go, ow. Or you kiss him and he doesn't want to kiss and he'll go, ow. And I'm like, no, that doesn't hurt. No. That's not ow. Or he'll go ow and then smack you over the head with something because he'll know it hurts you. They're faking. I mean, some of that is faking for attention. Some of it.
Right.
So she's not, maybe scared isn't the right word. Maybe got a teacher, like, are you scared? Are you nervous? Or do you just don't want to?
Yes.
Teacher the difference. Maybe between nervous is anxiety. That's different. Some kids are born with anxiety. I mean, they do have anxiety disorders. You just,
she's got a little bit of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anxiety is normal. And I don't know about your, oh my God, I was going to say species, your ethnicity, not species, but the Jews are generally anxious people. So every Jew I know has anxiety or depression.
A whole species. No, I'm saying I don't know about the whole Latino species.
I don't know about Latino. I mean, because I just don't know. I only know the things that run rampant in Jews. And one of those things is anxiety and another is attention deficit. So, I mean, I just know it's common. Anxiety. I mean, that's why Woody Allen was so famous. Anxiety, depression. Hmm. He made it hilarious. Sweet. Anyway.
Anxiety and depression. That kind of brings us to Hillary Clinton.
I mean, let's go for it. So let's talk about this. Yeah. Back to the news, which we have way,
back to the news,
way gotten past.
And then we, yes.
Long episode. I'm very sorry.
Yes.
So
it's
wait,
all right.
Wait, no, we never finished Google. I just want to say something. One thing else about Google Hangouts going on air. Blab is gone. No more Blab. So there's no Blab.
Yes,
there's
no
Google
Blab
Hangouts on air. And it kind of both came at the same time.
Yeah.
So
what does that say? They've
what
sort
does
of
it
like
say?
Said,
does it say that Facebook Live
Periscope,
is an evil conspiracy?
Snapchat, Periscope, Snapchat, Facebook Live.
Yeah,
that's like the way to
Periscope,
do it.
Periscope, Facebook
is what I'm
Live.
Thinking.
Can you do double sided Periscope now, where you and I could tape it ourselves together?
I don't think
well,
so.
What good is that?
It's
Facebook
still
Live. You can't.
Right. Oh, Facebook Live. You can. Okay. Yeah, maybe that
it's
is
a
it. Well, you never know because Facebook also changes things around all the time.
Conspiracy.
Like every time you go into Facebook, there's something like hasn't like the face like it. Can I tell you how much it drives me up the wall that again they have changed the layout of Facebook pages? Because then you have to go to a graphic designer and say, like, can you please create a new header for my page? Because now it's changed.
Oh, wait. I didn't notice. You know what? I did notice it changed, but not. It didn't occur to me enough to go to our own page and be like, what do I need to do differently? Does it not look good?
So annoying.
What do we need to change?
Well, I know. Well, I'm talking for the Libsyn stuff.
Oh.
Because it's just, you know, because it used to have the little avatar on the left-hand side. There was like a little, or in the middle. I don't know how they do that. And it has different layouts. They have different layouts for mobile and for desktop.
I am happy, though, that there's all the links on the left there because I didn't like having them across the top. Nobody ever saw anything. This way you can go reviews,
but it's still annoying.
Photos.
Nobody ever tells you except
wait,
you show up
even,
and you're like, wait.
We have reviews, but not one person has ever written one. I'm getting rid of that. Good God in heaven. Yeah. All right. It's ridiculous. You're right. It's ridiculous.
So let's cap
all
it
right,
off today by talking
about Hillary
Clinton.
In the podcast.
And then we can... Yeah, and then because the other discussion, I moved it over again because it's a really great discussion.
Wait,
it's
you
too
moved
long.
Over Orphan Black too? Was that on purpose?
I did, but then you started talking about it because it was going to be too long. But
oh,
that's
sorry.
Okay. It's fine.
You know what?
Why,
I thought I accidentally deleted it, and I felt bad.
No,
I didn't realize you were getting it off the table today. I feel like a jerk. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We talked about it anyway.
That's all right.
Hillary Clinton is co-hosting
a podcast
about her campaign. Let's
discuss. Yeah, dude, that's news.
It's a big.
This is the first time. This is the first time that's ever happened. Ever.
Big
dude.
Effing news.
So just on the front that she is using podcasting as a
huge
venue.
Deal.
That she recognizes that that's a thing.
Yes.
Right? And that she's the first person that's ever done that. And this is like removing any of the politics around
it.
No
could
politics.
Be anybody.
We're not talking politics.
If it was
could
the
be anyone.
It would be 1% less exciting, but still exciting.
But still, we would still talk about it because it's a candidate for presidency that's using podcasting as a venue to reach their constituents or more.
Luckily, Donald can't hold the microphone for a podcast because he's too busy patting himself on the back. But
we will not.
Anyway.
Okay. But anyway, but see here are two things that, so to me, that to me is cool as a reporting, like for us reporting the news. Hillary Clinton has a podcast. That's really cool. She's using this as a venue and then like really talking about, oh, this is really neat. It's the first time that's ever happened. This is why podcasting for her, you know, as a political candidate for, you know, in presidency for this way, it's actually really good because there really is there are no gatekeepers. It's for the same reason that you and I are behind the microphone, because we can say whatever we want. We have John editing our show. He's crafting it so it sounds a specific way, things that align with our brand, blah, 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 blah. We let people hear what we want. That's the power, right? But of course, we have people who are kind of angry with Hillary because they're saying this is another way for her to avoid talking to the press.
I love that it starts with, it's actually really smart because Donald has been really up the press's ass lately for not properly covering him or honestly covering him. And Clinton doesn't bother whining. She's just like, you know what?
I'll just create my own.
Create my own media. It's the first time I was going to say like radio days when it was like Eisenhower, but even when it was like JFK, Reagan, like not one of them thought to be like, you know what? I'll write my own thing. I'll create my own television show. Like this is the first time you really are able to do that. And I love that it starts with him going, what should I call you? And she says, you can call me whatever. I'm Hillary, Madam Secretary. You can call me Hey You. And he decides to call her Hillary, which I think is like, because, I mean, obviously he's been instructed to humanize her as much as possible, which is smart. I mean, because that's also probably the point of the podcast. And any podcast, let's be honest, is to let people hear. There's something about being able to hear you that really she can't hide. She's not dumb.
Exactly.
She, regardless of how you feel about what she's done in the past, regardless about how you feel about what she'll do in the future, regardless of what you think about her as a person, is she a crook? Is she no one? And by the way, just so we're all clear, no one is all one thing. Donald Trump does good. Hillary Clinton does good. Donald Trump does bad. Hillary Clinton does bad because you do bad and you do good because none of us are perfect. We're just less in the spotlight with less pressure and less at stake. That said, she is not dumb because anybody with a podcast or who's on a podcast knows you can't hide. You can hear how passionate I am about this. You can hear if I'm tired. You can hear if I'm annoyed or bored or excited or whatever. And she's no different. You'll hear. I mean, I don't even know how many episodes has been. Is it just the one? Probably.
As of now.
Just the one. So it's supposed to be weekly, I guess.
As of the recording of this moment. So yes,
like,
just the one.
You'll hear every week, like, her spirit. Is it up? Is it down? I mean, she's not going to be able to. And you'll hear if she's faking, which is probably going to be the best part. I listened to With Her.
Yeah.
And I can tell you right now that Clinton is fucking faking it because she sounds exhausted and that she's pushing through. You'll know. Mm-hmm. She knows you'll know.
Right.
And it'll be great,
right?
Regardless of how it turns out, it'll be great, right? Even if it's a disaster, it'll be a great disaster because the rest of us will learn something very valuable from it.
No, and I know that I don't want to like bring this back again to like the orphan black thing just because it's not politics and whatnot, but there's something enriching about having an experience, right? Which was me having an experience with the show that I was consuming, the media that I was consuming, and then getting the behind the scenes of the editor from Orphan Black, the makeup artist from Orphan Black, the people who are doing, you know, all the, like, the being able to keep the script the way that for changes and track changes and stuff from Orphan Black. There is a richer experience for me and an even more respect for that show while I'm listening to people who are working on that show. It now has, I'm a lot more invested. So there is also the experience of us watching the campaign as it unfolds, as the media presents it, as maybe somebody got an opportunity to attend an event, a live event with either candidate or whatever. And they have that experience. But then there is this extra layer of experience that kind of goes above and beyond the other stuff, because this is also curated from a completely different perspective. Yes, we cannot get a completely objective point of view. I don't think that's...
I'm not sure that exists.
We really can't do that.
How could it exist? We're all born into someone else explaining ethics and morals and ideals. You don't get that on your own. Nobody gets that on their own. Even if you're an orphan, the nuns teach you, right? You can't be unbiased.
Yep. And in that unbiased, you know, in that place, in the way that we move to something.
What is that?
Not
a word?
In unbiased-ness.
Doesn't matter.
I don't think so. Unbiased is a word. Unbiased, but I don't know about unbiased-ness. Yeah. So, but if we go into these things, like there could have been a possibility, you know, that I can go into Orphan Black, you know, and watch the show and then start listening to the actual Orphan Black official podcast. And then I could have been put off by maybe the director or the producer, or like I could have been, and then I could have been like, you know what? I'm not sure that's my thing.
Make no mistake. It is Clinton created propaganda, right? Part of it. I mean, it can't be anything else but that. But at the same time, I love that. And it says this at the last sentence of the Slate article. She's also trying to circumvent the media by creating her own. And I think that's brilliant. That's what I'm doing. Yep. That's what Elsie and I are doing. Why shouldn't we give you the news the way we see it? Why do you have to get it just from dudes? Why do you have to get it just from people who work in journalism? Why do you have to just get it from Panoply? Is that how you say it? I like still Panoply. Why can't you just get it from Panoply and Slate?
That sounds like Panoply.
Panoply
seems to be like, it's like
is like
a
so
horse.
Awkward for me to say.
Panoply.
I don't like it.
I don't know what
Panoply is like. Monopoly.
It sounds like pepperoni or Monopoly. Like, that's weird.
Anyway, she's like, fuck you.
So anyway.
Anyway, I think it's very smart. You shouldn't get your news from all one place. And if you are, you may as well get it from the source, even if it's somewhat skewed, because
exactly.
It's still from the horse. You're getting it from the horse's mouth. And she can't, you know, and again, this article is great because it says, this is your last chance. You don't have to do this podcast, but if we're going to do it, we're going to do it. And she's like, yeah, we're going to do it. We want people to get to know me. And so if he's smart, he will put her on the spot and make her uncomfortable, because we need to hear it from him, not from the New York Times and the Washington Post.
But there's also another layer to this as well, though, Jess, which could actually still be bad. The fact that it's not visual.
No, I think it's great.
Because as women, we get judged regardless.
It has to be visual.
By the way, we
look. It can't be visual. I want her to be in her slippers and pajamas. Like, I want to envision her one time. Have you ever seen Hillary Clinton in jeans for any reason at any time? No.
I haven't seen my mom in jeans. No, she started wearing jeans when I asked her to a while ago. But yeah, but you know, no, I have. I, it's like, that's not a thing my mom
but
does.
I love that
I don't
you
know
can
about,
visualize
what if she
her
like
just
jeans.
Whatevs. I see Hillary Clinton at the end of the day with curlers and those long quilted zip-up house coats. Like a house coat. Like my grandmother used to wear when she was cooking, like a house dress.
I don't see her that way. I see her like in nice pajamas. Like,
silk,
like just nice, comfy.
I don't see Hillary
silk
ever
pajamas,
wearing
yeah.
pants, pajamas. No, I think she
you
wears
don't?
Like a quilted house
I
coat.
I totally do. Get out. No, I did. She does not do that.
You think she wears like the silky
if we have
silk?
Her on the show.
I don't know.
Yes,
you
I
slide
well, like,
out
just
of bed with that
not
shit.
Even silk,
I think
so,
it would
just
be
comfortable
more
ones.
Maybe some Vera Wang from Kohl's. This is the dumbest thing we've ever talked about.
What kind of slippers?
No, does she has luck? Kind of slippers. No, no, this is hilarious. She has like the. You know how you can get fuzzy slippers of an animal? She has those, but they're giant stuffed feet with painted toes.
She does not she has, have
no,
that.
No, I haven't. She has the slippers that are sharks eating her foot. That's what kind of slippers Hillary's wearing. She's wearing shark slippers because it makes her feel on
oh
edge. If she's smart, she'll wear shark slippers because it'll be a constant reminder that they're always nipping at her heels. It'll keep her on point. If she's not
she'll
wearing those,
and
I'm going to send
slip.
Her some shark slippers. Where can I send her a gift?
You should.
Because she deserves shark
slippers. I don't
know.
We can listen to her podcast. Listen to her podcast. If there's a feedback thing going on, we can feedback and send her. We can send
a I want to send
to
Hillary
them.
Clinton a gift.
Shark slippers.
I'm going to Google it right now. Contact us.
And shark slippers.
It must
slippers.
Be done.
For Hillary.
It has to be
yes.
done. Wait, can I send it to a post office box? She has a P.O. box in Merrifield, Virginia and New York. To send a contribution by mail, please send a personal check. And it's still, you can't send things to a post office box. Doesn't she deserve shark slippers?
Yes, you can. I have a post office box. You can send things
whether
to it.
Whether you like her as the candidate or not, I think we can all agree she needs some shark slippers. Sharks.
Yes.
It's sharks, it's meaningful on her slippers. In so many ways. She needs to be a shark.
Yes, it is. And then you have to write a poem.
With the shark.
A haiku.
A haiku. The pressure. There's enough pressure already. Ay, ay, ay.
All right. Well, note, we're going to send them, but we're going to wrap it. We got to wrap it up.
Wrapping
now.
It on up.
We're wrapping
thank
it
you
up.
Guys.
What? How do you say it? Head us out. Bring
the
us out.
You can no, that's not right. That's not right. There we go.
There we go.
Oh, thank you guys so much for listening to She Podcast. Please visit our website, shepodcast.com. We're also on Twitter at She Podcast, and we are also on Facebook at She Podcast. And also, you can go to shepodcast.com/group and find the show.
Yes,
yes!
Baby. Yes.
Elsie.
We did it,
so
the old baby.
Yes,
love
honey.
You. Thank you.
Bye.
Mean it. Bye.